new and heightened credit card offers on today's Milanomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Milanomics Squared podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Milanomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like the following. I'll take this first one because I like Marriott more than you, let's be honest. Heightened offers from them. Big offers. $200,000 on the Bonvoy Brilliant, $175,000 on the Bonvoy Bevy, a strange card maybe we haven't talked about before, and the business up to 550K certificates.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, you like? Interesting. Let's run down this. I mean, that Brilliant at 200,000 is a lot of Marriott points. I mean, they've devalued for sure a lot.
200,000 Marriott points, Robert, with nothing to do.
Yeah, I'm not bragging here. I've got a million of them, and I don't know. Somehow I like more. There's so many different ways to use them. I mean, even besides the stays, the air travel, thing
that's
is still
point.
A thing.
Transfer, yeah.
Yeah, top them off for, JAL or something like that is something that's always in the back of my mind, but... The Bevy at 175 with just a $250 annual fee suddenly seems semi-compelling to me. But gosh, the thing that is so weird about these is the matrix of what you're eligible or ineligible for. I've got the Chase Ritz card, so I can't get the Brilliant or the Bevy, or maybe I can if I'm clever. Maybe talk more about that on the paid show. But all these are available through referral. Amex is a fantastic semi-universal referral thing. A good write-up from Tim at Frequent Miler here with the, the matrix, as we call it, of the Chase and the Amex blockage. I mean, Amex can tell. I actually lobbed in an application. Amex can tell straight away whether you have a Chase Ritz card that would disqualify you from getting the Brilliant or the Bevy. I mean, what kind of collaboration is that? Can you believe they've even been able to do that? I mean, how do they do that?
I don't know. I really don't know, Robert. Some kind of data sharing or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it's at the Marriott level. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. It could be. But I mean, you could put no number and they still would be able to link it, right?
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at me. I almost know how Marriott works. Huh? Interesting.
Wait, where do you work?
I know. It's crazy. No. I'll tell you what, though. I don't like the points. I do like the certs because I think they also can get rid of some of the points I have on hand. And
well, I've got some news for you, friend. The Bonvoy certs can now be topped off for 25K.
I was just going to say 15. Wow, that's even better.
Yeah, so that's a 1-2 punch here. I mean, that's a good point. You can take that to 75K and get rid of your 200,000 along the way here. I mean, the bad thing about them is that they expire.
More for less, I guess. Yeah, or less for more. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's a business card, Robert, right? And so I think...
Good point.
These co-branded Amex business card offers. It's a credit card, so I think that's precious credit card slots versus charge card slots. But a business co-branded card, I mean, that's like, I could do that with Player 2. I could do that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, Well, you mentioned on the Patreon last week how the Amex min spend has really been creeping up. 9,000 on this business card. I mean, it's a business. You should be spending in a business manner. But there definitely has been an uptick in the minimum spend requirement on Amex cards, and maybe everybody as well.
Yes.
There has been inflation, but maybe that's mostly what we're seeing here. They cannot afford to give you 200,000 points because they don't go as far as they used to. They have an annual fee that's bigger than
more
it used
breakage,
to be.
Breakage, less people hitting it. I don't know. Yeah.
The only thing I like about those searches is that the way they expire. So you really got to have a game plan in mind for them for the next years. So.
And here's the other thing. You've got to know when you are going to want to probably use them annually, because if you get them, probably don't get them right away, right? So there's probably a little bit of a lag, and then the clock starts. And if you wanted to use them, for example, spring break, it's probably too late for spring break this year, and it's probably not going to work for spring break next year, right?
Yeah, good point.
So it's this weird... Like, they're good for 12 months, but they're really, in my mind, only good for like 10.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. I mean, boy, I thought I had you. I thought that was the most optimism I've ever heard for you on the Marriott program. It must be fresh on the heels of the fabulous stay that you had last week and that we talked about on the paid show this week.
Robert, I had a Hilton free night certificate expire 2 days ago. I don't know. Maybe I can call in.
Isn't that great? That they do go away eventually. just let them ignore them for long enough.
Like four left now because of all these nonsense shenanigans. But yeah. And then, you have like a little grace period we can call back. But and like half of me is like, I should probably shoehorn something, make it happen, get them to uncancel it. And I don't even care, Robert. Do any of these cards, speaking along the same line, have annual free night certificates that keep kicking off?
Oh, for sure. Boy, they got those in spades, looking to get you in for the second year. I think Amex is pretty smart about that, so that would happen as well. I'm not sure what the levels are. I was just looking at the Brilliant and the Bevy. I know they put different levels of them. I think it's 85K and 50K after that first year, and they drag you along.
No, it's crazy because, you know, you think you want an 85K cert because more is better, but then you sit there and you go like, I can't use that at the courtyard. I mean, that's insane. I won't want to do that. So then you don't use it. It sits around. You never use it. And then you go, I guess I got to just do a one night stay in town or something. And I really do think less is more, where you get these smaller priced certificates and you're like, I got to use them and I don't care where I use them.
I'm feeling very seen on that. I've done many of those such days.
We got a bunch of card offers here. We're not covering them, but there are heightened Delta offers as well. So it seems like a co-branded bonanza right now. What's this next one?
Yeah. Chase Hyatt Business 80,000, which is, I think, the highest I've ever seen from it. Hard to get, can't get it under five if you're over 524, which I am typically. And I sometimes lob in an application thinking if they heightened the offer, did something different with it, maybe I would sneak in. But I have not been able to get this card. And the reason I like it is because it does a better job of generating elite qualifying nights towards Globalist than the personal version of the card does. You need 10K in spend for five elite qualifying nights, which is better than the two nights you get per 5K of spend, which isn't really most people's focus with these Hyatt cards. We covered the Hyatt chart devaluation. So again, more inflation here. You know, the points aren't going to go as far as they used to, maybe. But 80,000 is a good, healthy amount. But if that's the thing I would really like about it. The $195 annual fee is not waived the first year. And 10K minimum spend in the first 3 months. It's not just Amex that's doing it. So available for the referral. I haven't confirmed 100% for sure that I can refer from a personal to a business. I think you can. I bet you can. I haven't been able to in the past. So look for that if you have a friend or a spouse or something like that that has the personal version, if you're eligible for this. I think it's a good offer. I'd go for it. Any interest on your side? Have you ever had a Chase Hyatt card at all?
No, have not. No, Robert, haven't. You're newly minted Globalist, though, aren't you?
Happened just this morning.
You know, I thought congratulations.
I was at a local diner, and I showed my wife. I said, "Hey, I'm Globalist." You know, as of that stay.
She's like, "Who cares?"
Like, I was like, "I thought they'd come over and improve my Eggs Benedict here at the cafe."
Robert, did she have any reaction? Total flat tone. No.
Oh, she was not impressed.
I love how little we impress our spouses with the things that like blow our minds. Like.
She is the one who has been the Globalist in the past. Like I said, she has the card, and I've forever been the lowly, you know, spouse who is interacting with her Hyatt concierge, not my Hyatt concierge, Hyatt concierge. So I'm a Globalist for the first time in a long time, and you know, through stays, and we talked about that on the paid show. So a pretty good opportunity there to be able to get status, and I've got it through February 2028.
Yes, right. Yeah, next year's 2027.
You better recognize. Yeah.
But so. I mean, even as a Globalist, the reason I bring it up is not to just That's not why I brought it up, but as a Globalist, you still would like this card?
I would. You know, it never hurts to be able to gin up some extra nights through spend, you know, if you want to get to a threshold or something like that, or in the future, I'm Globalist Lite.
You don't get any of those benefits. I get you. Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is always a reason for a new card. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm willing to cut weight, though. So ironically, I might get one on my wife's side, and then she'd be the Globalist again in 2028. We're mapping out the future here like the Olympics.
Oh, man. Always time for a card, but maybe not always time for this next card. What do you think, Robert?
Might be one of the worst cards we've ever talked about in the show. And that's from a golfer.
Ooh, that's tough because we've talked. Hold on. Might be one of the worst cards we've ever talked about on this show. Is there a worse card? I mean, we've talked about HSBC cards, Robert. We've talked about Banco Popular cards. I mean, we've gone way down the rabbit hole. And you're saying this golf card is worse. And I wish the name was different, but it is literally golf card.
Hey, you know, just name it so it's a straightforward thing. But it really reminds me, remember that wine card we had
a
few years ago?
Yes, I thought the same exact thing when I read it, Robert.
It's very similar.
That was a good card,
though. But I actually got value out of that. I had a $1,000 bottle of wine from that card. I mean, I don't think this golf card's going to get you anywhere near that. Although they say that their coupon book is worth $1,100. Can you believe that?
No, I don't believe it because I think one of the coupons is like $6 a month or something like that. So.
That's, you know, that's the typical play. You know, I know you like Dunkin' Donuts, but you don't like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, this crazy benefit. I think they get to that figure by virtue of they have a lot of direct tie-ins with a lot of golf things. And they're not golf things that like PGA Tour Superstore or Golf Galaxy or something like that. They're these obscure kind of travel companies that put together golf trips, and there are discounts on golf trips, and they're probably pretty small. Like, you'd have to, like, you get $125 or $250 off a trip. That's like $2,000 or $3,000 probably. So
how many of those are you going to take a year? Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're really, they're so specific that it's not like just spend it on anything that causes golf and you get a just great thing. And so even the 20,000 point welcome bonus that you get after spending $4,000 and the $250 annual fee, it just doesn't make sense from the enthusiast standpoint. We've talked so much about the co-branded paradox of you want to fly United, you live in Newark, you got to get a United co-branded card. And it's like, well, that's just not a good card to put spend
get
on.
Get the debit card, cases. Robert.
Yeah, exactly. You get that and you'll get the word access of that's better if it's ever better. But this one, it seems like you can Google somebody saying, hey, you know, I don't travel that much. I play golf. I want a golf card. But this isn't it. It's just not put together in such a way that there's any opportunity, even if you are a big enthusiast, to get a lot of value out, I don't think.
Robert, it reminds me of like a mattress store credit card.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, almost.
Like,
right.
You go to some of these stores, and they're like, the credit card is issued by, and it's issued by like Comedy Bank or like a real bank. And you're like, but it's your credit card, just this one store. It's weird.
Yeah, it is almost like that. It's, I think, highly put together by this guy that runs this thing called the Random Golf Club, which, you know, he's got some pretty good YouTube videos out there. And it's like, you don't really have a golf club membership, but you go on trips with these guys and they get you access to all these private clubs and things like that, which it all sounds good to me at a certain level, but it's just too specifically tied to those things. It needs to be a little bit more general. It needs to be a little bit more generous. I mean, 20,000 points that can only be redeemed towards these merchants that they're in cahoots with, it's just a little too restrictive.
But you and I have talked about angles that are tremendously more valuable than this. I mean, I think, Robert, you just recently had a paid stay that you used an angle for to be able to golf at Pinehurst, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a golf angle for trips. You know, there was a City Prestige angle where you could get golf for free. There is a Visa Infinite angle that you utilized to get extremely discounted golf. Those are all real things that have much more utility for a broader group of people than this card. So those are the things, if we were going to talk about golf and credit cards, we should talk about. What do you think?
That's a great point. You know, I could see the difficulty from the person who's putting this together. It's got a wait list, so maybe we shouldn't even, you know, be so, oh, there's a wait list? I want to get on it, you know?
Mesa 2.0, yeah.
yeah, very similar to that. And that wine card didn't last very long either.
That's true.
And, right, you know, so it's just hard to figure out the whole situation that makes sense. I mean, could the annual fee be higher? Maybe most fundamentally, and if we broaden the discussion the way we like to, right? How does Amex work with Lululemon, Dell, all these different retailers? What's the split there? What's the split between Saks or whatever? Because that, I think, serves as a model for some of these things that if, you know, you go to, say we're making a golf card or a rock climbing card or whatever the hobby might be, right? You go to the big players in it and you say, hey, we're having this credit card. We want to have a perk at your place. You know, if people spend $100 here, will we split the difference on the 50 or something like that? I don't know how it gets modeled together, but it's got to be hard to tie it all together. It just doesn't seem like it's all come together yet in such a compelling way here. But I think there is a market for these things, these generalized things. It didn't work for the wine card. We'll see if it works for the golf card. But there's got to be a model out here that isn't just air travel and hotels, basically.
If you had to give one piece of advice to the issuer on how to fix the card, I've got an idea of what I would tell them. Do you have an idea what you would tell them?
I don't. Tell me. What do you think?
The solution is for the golf card points to be transferable to SAS. That's it right there, Robert. That would be the thing. Everyone on earth would want this card.
That's so good.
It's so true, isn't it? If he can get that SAS connector hooked up, this card is a winner.
I have a link to an article here from Forbes where the founder says he had an epiphany and he thought that this would be a good card because he heard somewhere that some airline executive said, we're not really in the business of flying planes. We're credit cards first and flying the planes come secondary. He's like, oh, I got the perfect idea. I'll create a golf credit card that's built on the same premise. But you start to appreciate all of the elaborate point values and devalues and, you know, co-branding and tying in a redemption chart. The rest of it, the point ecosystem hasn't been built out yet, but maybe they're working towards that. So I think I've got a ways to go. But yeah, it's pretty interesting that, you know, this is a golf card that really doesn't have any, it doesn't own a golf course, right? It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really weird. And, you know, I think we've spent more time talking on it than we probably should have, but I also had a fun time just goofing off on it. So I'm sure someone likes the card, maybe somewhere. There's a wait list.
Yeah, must be popular if there's a wait list.
There's two people on the wait list.
Yeah. Me and you.
That's right, Robert.
Give him false hope. But hey, we talked so much about a great show this week on The Paid Show and another one next week. Ready to close this one out?
I am, Robert. Let's do it.
Well, thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/milenomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer where we speak more freely about topics like these.
As always, you can reach us on social media. I'm at Milenomics and Robert is at Robert Dwyer. Until then, we'll see you on the site.